Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Friday, October 21st, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I do have with me a full panel roundtable joining me, folks. I have broadcasting from all the way in Inverness, Scotland, Mr. Graham Sutherland here. Hey, welcome, Graham.
Hi, Richard. Yeah, it's great. I'm looking forward to a good show tonight.
As am I. Good to have you here, Graham. I have Stephen Douglas Whitener joining us, folks. Hey, welcome, Stephen.
Howdy, everybody. Thanks for having me, Richard.
It's good to have you here, Stephen. And I have James in Vancouver here with us. Hey, welcome, James.
Yeah, thank you. I'm here. Good to talk to you.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, good to have you here with us. We might have another participant. We'll see if he connects a bit into the show. But, there's a lot going on out there, that's for sure. James, you've been a listener and, you've been a co-host at RBN, too. I mean, you've been on my show a good bit. You've been on Stephen's. I remember in the past you were on Dr. Kelly's show a number of times with her as a co-host. Isn't that right?
That's correct, yes. We did a couple of months together at the beginning of 2022. About 2022, I think that's when we started.
Okay, and yeah, she always had a good diversity of topics and not afraid to hit the subjects, you know, some fear to tread toward, you know. I don't know. Hey, why don't I toss it to you first? You know, what's on your mind that or that one of us had been mentioning in our discussions earlier? What would you like to address?
I think the thing that one of the big stories is the Kanye West issues been going on. And he's been fairly straightforward in calling out the Jews for what they do. And then there's been the counter blast of people like Howard Stern and Piers Morgan that are coming out against Kanye West. And then about a day or so ago, this was about a week ago when this all started, I believe. Then about yesterday, I heard that, and I heard Kanye West say, if anything happens to me, then there's going to be a revolution against the people that perpetrated my death. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And so I think this is a very interesting a turn of events where you have this revolution that he's starting, I would say, because if you go back in the music business, just recently, 2015, you had Prince. In 2009, you had Michael Jackson. Around then, you had the singer who just escapes me now. But before her, in the 1990s, you had Tupac Shakur. And the list goes on and on. I go back to Donny Hathaway. It was thrown out of a building in New York City in the 1970s. And you had Sam Cooke, okay, that was shot to death over some issue. And apparently that was some kind of cover-up. Then you go back to people like Billie Holiday. And the list goes on and on. And then I could add to that the 27 clubs. Okay, now this includes white people somehow dying. You go to Jim Morrison. You go to Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain. I mean, the list is endless. So my question is really, what the hell is going on in the music business anyway? You see? I mean, for anybody to look at this, an investigator I don't know. I talked to Dr. Jim Fetzer a couple of days ago on another show on RBN, and this is a very I mean, your chances of surviving Vietnam are better than being a rock star. So some of the things on my mind.
Right there. Yeah, no, very, very interesting. And we do have our additional participant now as well. William Repillum is also joining us. Hey, welcome, William. Did you catch some of that? And would you like to respond to what James was just referencing?
Yeah, hey, Richard. Hey, James. I did catch that.
Hey.
Thank you for having me on the show. Very interesting topic. You know, the music industry and sort of the dark, like, the mysteries around it, which aren't really mysteries. I mean, if you look into the Tavistock Institute, and you'll learn a lot there about how the Beatles came about and what their agenda, what the globalist agenda was behind that. And some of these other artists you mentioned that died, like Michael Jackson. Prince was in 2016. I don't know, did you say 2010? I had a minor correction there, but yeah. And then Chris Cornell and the guy from Linkin Park, forgot his name.
Yeah.
2017. I looked into some. Definitely Chris Cornell was murdered.
Chester Bennington.
Yes, Chester Bennington. Right, right. Is that Graham?
Yes.
Hey, Graham.
All right.
Yes, Graham. Oh, go ahead, William. You wanted to finish your thoughts, please.
You know, we can talk about this about this music stuff for a while. Please go on. Yeah.
Well, no, it sounded like Graham had a couple of points to make on this topic. Graham, please.
I've been following this as well. Chris Cornell wasn't just another member of the 27 Club. He'd actually he'd done like several years' work into investigating the Peter Pell networks, and he was just about to publish a book. He was nearly finished, as far as I know. The book was just waiting for its final, you know, sort of final draft. And he got bumped off, and he was being helped and assisted by Paul Walker.
Right.
Paul Walker.
I get it.
Paul Walker, the guy that died in the car accident in 2013.
Exactly.
Fast and Furious.
Santa Maria. Right after you get over the green path. What is it called? You go over from the valley, you drive over into LA. What is that called? That pass, you go over the mountain there. The Grapevine. After you go over the Grapevine, you run into Santa Clarita. And that's where he crashed a, like, speed car or whatever. That's what they say.
He knew they were trying to kill him. He told a few of his friends they were trying to kill him.
That's interesting. I didn't know about that. I didn't know that Paul Walker was
well,
off.
At the time, he wasn't driving, was he? Excuse me, but was Paul Walker even driving the car? I think he was somebody else
was
driving.
Yeah, I thought he was the driver. He had a passenger. That was what I understood.
Yeah.
All right, William, you say you thought that he was the driver. James, you heard that maybe he wasn't. I'm not familiar. Stephen, you haven't had a point yet. Would you like to take the floor, sir?
Well, you know, anyone who speaks out against these people in any way, they put their life at risk. I mean, if you try to blow the whistle on what's going on, they will try to take you out. And a lot of the Jimi Hendrix in particular was coming out against the war. I remember his death, and I remember things being hinted at with Morrison that it had to do something with his father, who was an admiral. And I don't know all the details, but somehow that linked to the Liberty attack, too. I don't know if that's I don't know how to flesh all that out, but it's, you know, it's a horrible thing to see. And music has been programming us, like you said, with the Tavistock Institute for a long time. The whole thing is not just organic. A lot of these musicians, their families, they come from military intelligence backgrounds. That book called Laurel Canyon that goes into all that. I don't have that book, but I've read some of it, and just amazing that all of these superstars, they're not organic. They're not, you know, it's not because people really dig their music. You know, it's a racket is what it is. And if you speak out against the racket, then, you know, we got to chop you. That's what it looks like to me. That's my take on it. Yes, sir.
But it's also about social engineering, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that the hippies, the government agencies had a lot of involvement in getting the hippies associated with the anti-war movement as a way to make it unappealing, you know, mm-hmm. to traditional conservative Americans to be a war protester, because you're associated with those dirty hippies and their degenerate, amoral, you know, behaviors that were being pushed, of course. And psychedelics, of course, were heavily experimented upon. All these people pushing it, Andy Warhol, Ken Kesey and his bus. All of these people were agents. So that's how I could see someone like Jim Morrison being involved, just another pushing and selling the whole psychedelic thing. I heard someone, I forget who, recently talking about how, though, when a lot of experiments were done with people and heavy LSD usage, yes, getting them less likely to fight one another, both here and with against foreigners, that they quickly lost interest in psychedelics and just all the ways you wake up against wake up to the deceptions, you know, more easily. I think when you've had experiences with these things, I can testify to at least. Yeah. And so then, of course, you had the opposite. You know, they had to make the hippie movement unappealing, to make psychedelics unappealing. You know, not just laws. So you had something like the Sharon Tate murders as a way to scare people away from being hippies. I don't know. Would any of you like to cut in
Let me say that Manson and Ted Kaczynski are both graduates of the MK Ultra program, which is what you were describing partly with that LSD. I mean, that was more of the mind control aspect of it. They did experiment with the LSD with the troops, as you pointed out, and you know, they just didn't have much interest in fighting after that. You're right. Yeah, I'll toss it back to you guys.
So I think Jim Morrison's father was involved in the Gulf of Tonkin. He was one of the lead admirals.
Yes, that's right.
Involved with, yeah. And there could be something there. He could have been silenced for what he knew. Clearly, there's something going on. And you had the intelligence network. Dave McGowan covered that in his book, Weird Scenes in the Canyon, about rock and roll in L.A., and then it moved up to San Francisco. And, LSD was involved. But we know that Alan Dulles bought all that from Switzerland, 300 million tabs of acid, or 200 million tabs of acid he imported into the United States.
Wow.
So.
Graham?
That's really interesting. I've been following this stuff for years. There's a thing that happened fairly recently. There was I like most types of music, but I do not like hip hop. I find it quite tedious. But this was a top hip hop artist. He's a household name speaking, and he said he was invited along with some of the other artists and also rappers, and they were more or less forced to go to this party, and they were told it could be, you know, lucrative for them. So they went to this party and they realized it wasn't just ordinary showbiz people and music people that was there. There was some kind of shady looking clean cut guys there who took them aside and said to them, look, listen, we want to promote gangster rap, basically, and the glorification of crime, killing police and stuff like that. And we want this to be woven into the music because we're busy building private jails and we want to fill them up And if you guys could help us do that by making it, you know, making crime trendy, we can cut you in with some free shares in the private prisons. And one of the guys walked out. He said, I can't believe this. He just walked out. And he was met outside in the car park and said, look, it's not really something you can walk away from. We're not really asking you. We're kind of telling you. So, yeah, they were trying to force them into a situation of glorifying violence and crime to fill up the jails. And they were going to get, a payment up front. And then, as I say, shares in these private prisons. I thought it was quite mind-blowing. Wow.
Yeah, no, what fantastic points that you're making there. And I'm remembering back to the 80s when before rap was destroyed in that way. It was 1988 or 87 with Eazy-E and the Degenerate, you know, that was more of a degenerate, like, sexual debasing women album that he came out with. And then Straight Outta Compton, the NWA came out with, which their opening song, Straight Outta Compton, glorified killing police.
Well, there was a lot of crime on the debut Eazy-E album, glorified. I mean, there's a robbery for the one song. I was familiar with it from the people in my neighborhood back growing up. And, you know, he just as much starting out was not just about sex, but glorifying crime, just like the rest. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
NWA goes back further in years. I don't know how much that was, but sure.
Thinking of Too Short. Actually, that's Too Short was more focused on the debasing women thing. I think I don't know how much he was in the killing cops.
Sure. Well, so. James, is there something on this topic that we didn't fully explore that you were also wanting to point out? You know, before we move on after the break.
Well, I think we just have to look at the life of Kanye West to see what happens, is what I'm getting at, because what happened to Tupac Shakur in 1996, think we have to follow this story to see if someone is going to try or, you know, to take him out. I think it's reprehensible and it's repugnant to my sensitivity, so this is what I want to say.
Yeah, and there's a guy on CNN, was it Jake Tapper? I was reading the article this week, and he's trying to call for censorship because of, you know, the people like Kanye out there talking about powerful Jews and Jewish power and these sort of things.
Yeah.
Calling for censorship, trying to start selling it more, you know, to get it trending, the desire for censorship.
Yeah. Well, haven't I heard in the news lately some kind of anti-Christian stuff going down where these guys are saying to the Muslims, well, we love you. It's the Christians that have got to go. I mean, so, you know, these guys are saying this stuff, too, about things, you see. So, anyway, I'll let you back to you guys.
Because we have the break. And, yeah, we'll be back with more discussion. Check out these messages from our sponsors, folks. Here's the music. We'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with a full panel roundtable. We have Graham Sutherland, Stephen Douglas Whitener, William Repillum, James in Vancouver. And, well, I should mention that if any of you missed it, we have in Europe and in the U.S. is pushing for the mRNA COVID shot to be on the child vaccine schedule. And evidently, this is supposed to permanently make it clear of liability, even though it's experimental, you know, because right now the emergency use authorization keeps needing to be extended for adults, evidently, some kind of loophole where it would be safe from prosecution regarding anyone taking it if this were to get on that schedule. As far as the FDA and the CDC, we had an unanimous vote, the CDC panel, 15-0, voting in favor. And this was just this past week. And noticed a couple other of related articles talking about it. And then, of course, this other article, James, I sent this to you just this morning, was what is COVID really about? Over at globalresearch.ca, triggering a multi-trillion dollar global debt crisis, ramping up an imperialist strategy. But we see a lot of agendas with the mRNA shots, not just the financial agenda. You think it's probably both agendas. James, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, they've figured out how to have a war with the general population. And in this war, it's like in the science fiction shows where you get called to the extermination chamber at age 50 or whenever they call you, you see, and they've learned to make money with this war like you'd make money with any other war, you see. So other wars, you get two sides or three sides or whatever, and you say, well, those are the bad guys. We got to go get them because some guy's making speeches in German, let's say. People really don't know what he's saying, but we'll tell you what he says. You got to go over there and get this guy, right? So everybody goes and they get themselves killed. Well, the money guys make money off that. Well, now this war has been generalized to where the average person is a combatant, and the average person has a good chance of getting killed in this war.
Graham?
Generalization of war.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was seeing if Graham wanted to chime in. He's on mute, though. I don't know. Graham, do you, your thoughts?
Sorry, yeah. I had it muted there. Yeah, I feel a sense of betrayal because I remember as a kid, really, I think I was only like 9 or something when Woodstock happened. And I remember thinking, this is fantastic. You know, this is a whole revolution. And what could possibly be wrong with the peace and love? What could possibly be wrong with that? And there was a lot of stuff, a lot of anti-war protest bans like 10 years after and whatnot. And Country Joe and the Fish. And I thought it was fantastic. I really thought, you know, this is really something. This is going to be like a worldwide kind of, you know, revolution, anti-war revolution. It's fantastic. But I didn't realize when I was so young and naive, it had actually been hijacked. The whole movement had been hijacked. And it was pretty much, to a large extent, fake.
Stephen.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah. I was thinking that this. Go ahead, James.
No, you're absolutely right. That was put on by the defense intelligence community, Woodstock.
Yeah.
If you listen to Kay Griggs, 7 hours and 40 minutes of Kay Griggs debriefing everybody on what the military intelligence do out of places like Camp Lejeune, Camp Pendleton, and who actually runs the hit squads in the United States. She mentions Woodstock as being go ahead.
It was pivotal, wasn't it? It was a pivotal moment in the history of, you know, popular music, really. And, I mean, it wasn't isolated. You had a whole load of free shows. Rolling Stones did a free show on in the Isle of Wight, and another one in Hyde Park, where they flew in helicopters and did a free gig. And there was a whole load of stuff happening around the world in Monterey and whatnot. It wasn't just it was right across Europe.
A lot of things that seemed genuine and grassroots, altruistic, didn't all seem commercial, and capitalized as the motive. We'll be right back, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. OxySilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with James in Vancouver, William Repillum, Graham Sutherland, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. Stephen, tossing the mic to you, sir.
You know, I remember I was like 8 years old, Woodstock, and I didn't realize this until later, but it seemed to me that whatever happened there, there were so many people together all at once. I don't think things really went the way that they intended it. Like, people got along a lot better maybe than they thought they would, and then they had to kill whatever started there with the Altamont. You remember how the Stones, somebody was stabbed to death trying to storm the stage at Altamont, and I don't know if that's true or not. I don't have, you know, the insight about that, but it always struck me as that, looking back on it during the 70s. Did you guys think that Altamont was arranged, or was that organic? I mean, they had the Hell's Angels there providing protection, and you know, there's Mick up there powerless to stop the violence. And I think that maybe that was intended to send the message to people: you can't fight back, you can't organize and overcome us. We still control you. That's how it struck me. I'd be interested in hearing what you gentlemen think about that.
That was Hyde Park, wasn't it?
No, I think you're talking about Altamont Pass, right, in California. It's in between San Francisco Bay Area and the Central Valley.
Sorry,
there was a concert there, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
They had a concert there.
And it was after, yeah.
I don't know a lot about the incident, though.
Well, it was... Yeah, it was Altamont happened after Woodstock, and it was Rolling Stones were playing there, and it was another big festival like Woodstock. I've forgotten exactly when it was, but there was a death. There was a lot of violence and stuff there.
How about James? James, are you familiar with what Steven's referring to here?
Yeah, Altamont was definitely a setup. I remember watching a video. And the Jefferson airplane were coming in the afternoon, and they said, "What's going on?" Oh, he said, "This is like out of hell. It's burning tires. All kinds of things are going on there." So it was a setup to crash the peace movement, the hippies, and that was in '69, same year as Manson. Mm-hmm. So I figured the Manson outfit was. They were out to get people like the Beach Boys and the, you know, the good timey vibes that were happening in California. It was out to get rid of that. So there you go.
Well, here, William.
Oh, Intel heard... Pro.
Absolutely. For the sake of time, I'm trying to just fit in some other topics a bit more. William, you seemed interested in some of these articles I was sending you. What was COVID really about, triggering a multi-trillion-dollar global debt crisis, ramping up imperialist strategy, and also the ones about the CDC and FDA for school children, likewise the EU medical agency recommending approval of the COVID vaccine for infants aged 6 months and older. I don't know, William, how did you want to comment on some of these topics?
Child sacrifice, and that's what these people are capable of doing. They're capable of things that the normal person can't even fathom. And one of the things that comes to mind that Alfred Schaefer brought up is, how does the Jew become this way? Well, he didn't ask that question, but the question came up in me when we were talking about the 8-day-old baby goes through the circumcision ritual where the rabbi bites off the foreskin. And the baby is in this state of absolute torture while this is happening. Obviously there are probably much worse tortures, but it's, I think that this contributes to creating psychopath out of the Jew, the way that they go through this ritual at a very young age, becoming disassociated from, you know, from humanity the way they are.
James, I don't know, how would you respond to that?
Well, I've been circumcised, but my mother wasn't Jewish, but I could understand that. I understand the argument. It may be, there may be a connection there. But there's stuff like counseling out there. I mean, it's... if people are psychotic and they're doing this in these rituals, and I'm not saying they're not, because we see evidence of all kinds of things happening like this, is a rational person would say, well, why do I want to get involved in this in the first place? But then people like to stay in groups, or at least that's the tendency. So... myself, I've always been somebody who wanted to stay by myself rather than be a part of a group. So if you join a group, well, you take the risk of following the group wherever they're going.
Yes, and you've brought up. Sorry to interject, but I mean, yeah, because you've brought this up for some of us who aren't too familiar with you, like Graham, for example. Here, I mean, well, Graham, James here. Has mentioned how he's had a Freemason affiliation, but also how he's had some, although he said his mother isn't Jewish, he's had some Jewish blood from his lineage and a bit enough of a look where he's had a lot of powerful Jews or just, Orthodox cliquish sort of Jews approach him, trying to just randomly find out who he is or recruit him in some manner or assume allegiance. Isn't that right, James?
Yeah, and a lot of dirty looks, too, because a lot of people, up here in Vancouver don't like Jews. And bingo, I walk in the room and then they look at me. So it's a fun life.
I think you've always got to, you know, be quite clear about whether you're speaking about, you know, Jewish by blood or Jewish by religion. Because there's a lot of secular and atheistic kind of Jews that are very popular. Look at Bob Dylan, for instance, and Leonard Cohen. Never heard anybody say any bad about them.
Oh, I have to disagree about Leonard Cohen. I'm sorry, Graham. I heard him say, sitting next to his wife from the 70s, how anything that we build without them, they will destroy. I mean, it was definitely the same mantra that you hear from several kinds. I've heard it from several rabbis that they will destroy anything that we try to build that is excluded of them. And that was Leonard Cohen. I used to like his music too until I found that clip.
Well, his last album, Stephen, is absolutely amazing. He obviously knew he was dying. And he put all these unfinished ideas and concepts and, you know, all his frustration and everything into his last album. And it's just an absolute work of genius.
Oh, I've never heard that. Do you think that he tried to change his mind, perhaps? I don't know. That's because he was very vehement that this was, you know, this was the plan. He was all on board. I'll have to find that clip for you, sir. And I'll have to check his last. I have to check his last album too.
Oh, it's just it's on a different level. It really is. I mean, I wouldn't say I was a major fan of Cohen's. I found his music a bit interesting but depressing. That's how I would classify him. But his last album, it's like a celebration of life. It's quite remarkable.
Well, there's a cult of Jewry. I think maybe before, rather than religion, you know, let's distinguish whether you're talking about the blood, or whether you're talking about people who actually practice the religion.
Yes.
Or are you talking about people who actually indulge in the full-on cult? And some will argue practicing the religion is a mild version of practicing the full-on cult. That's to be debated, and left to be debated. But considering that James has had a Freemason status. Graham, you've looked into the Masons a lot. Do you have any questions for James regarding Masonry?
James, what level did you attain in the craft?
Third degree with Mark Master.
All right,
Mark,
okay.
Mark is the beginning of Red Lodge. Yeah, it's got an English constitution.
So is that's different from Scottish Rite?
Yep, it's probably much different. I've never sat in Scottish Rite, so I couldn't really tell you. Washington, D.C. is big in Scottish Rite.
I think that's a York, what they call a York masonry, isn't it? It only goes up to 23 degrees.
York Rite.
Yeah, 23rd degrees at top of the heap.
I believe so, yeah.
Whereas the Scottish Rite goes up to 33, and then as a so-called secret 13 degrees above that.
Well, that's what I've heard, yes.
Yeah.
You can still walk away from it at that point, right? That's just every single...
Could you repeat that, William? I'm not sure we all caught that.
Oh, I'm just saying... you can still walk away from Freemasonry at 3 degrees. I think it's, you know, it may be different in the different rites, but, my understanding is that all the lodges all over the country, they pretty much just are first, second, third degree Masons. And you can walk away from it at that point, but you can't walk away after the 11th degree. What do you say to that?
I've heard that. Well, I thought it was... Yeah, I thought it was 13, but yeah, I have heard that.
Now, are there degrees in between there, or does it just skip up there?
Well, let James answer the question.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted that one more question there.
Yeah, well, I there's nothing binding me,
right now, I would emphasize the free in front of the masonry thing. It's Freemasonry, so nothing's binding me at this juncture. So,
And what was the follow-up? What was the follow-up question, William?
Oh, the follow-up is that, so there's first, second, third degree, but is there a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth, or does it skip up to 11th? I know there's, you know, some people just ride right to the top.
Well, the mark comes after, in where I was doing my masonry, after the third degree was the mark, and I've got the mark, so, again.
Does that have a number?
Well, a mark, it's in the, if you look it up on Google, they'll give it to you what the mark is, and it's, nothing to do with the mark of the beast at all. You'll see it. It comes right out of the whole allegory of the temple and that kind of thing. So it's on the web. The stuff is all on the web. Although I don't research it.
Regarding Jewish power and the web, for that matter, James, you sent me yesterday this Wikipedia entry. Yes. I was surprised at list of Jewish American business people in media. It's entitled.
Yes.
Did you want to make a comment on that?
Yeah, well, the list I thought I sent you was the list of Jewish Americans involved in the entertainment industry, which is more extensive than the list in the media industry.
Well, the heading of it is media, right. And then it has categories.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Advertising, anyways, music industry, newspaper, television, film.
Yeah, and I looked it up because I was listening to William Rapillum last night, and I looked this up just to see what was going on, and the list is vast. Well, I've known this. I've known this since the 1960s. Okay. If you want to be a superstar or a super rock star, you've got to have a connection. You got to have an agent who's connected to people,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only way you're going to make it.
Well, listen here. There was a gentleman I wanted to try to bring on. He's been on hold for quite a while. Stoney in Georgia. Hello, Stoney. Yeah, thank you for holding. What did you want to add today, sir?
Yes. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, loud and clear, sir.
Okay. First off, I want to go back to the first segment in which you guys brought up this discussion. And I'm happy to hear someone get to the root of it all. And we're going all the way back to Michael Jackson, even Johnny Cochran. When Johnny Cochran was defending O.J. Simpson, and it wasn't like the girl that O.J. Simpson supposedly murdered, what's her name, was getting any attention. It was Ron Goldman's father who was getting all the attention. And then the ADL came out and said, the black Jewish relationship is too important to let one man destroy it. To which Johnny Cochran fired back and said, the Jews don't have a corner on misery in this world. Okay. And then Johnny Cochran started getting death threats. Then Louis Farrakhan sent in the NOI, protect Johnny Cochran. Then Louis Farrakhan fired back and said, if one man can destroy the so-called black Jewish relationship, then we never had one in the first place. All right. Now let's move on to Michael Jackson. The people who, when he was going through his pedophilic incident of being accused of everything, he called on the likes of John Landis and Steven Spielberg to come to his defenses. He had shot in videos with them and, you know, was supposedly friends with them, but they totally turned their back on him. Now, it was later, there was Corey Feldman and Macaulay Culkin and the little kid who played, the little black kid who played, I forget the name of it. But anyway, they all came out and said Michael Jackson never touched them. But Corey Feldman did name particular producers and directors in Hollywood that were the true culprits of pedophilia. Now, when you look at Michael Jackson and you look at him owning the Beatles catalog, it's not just the Beatles catalog. Do your research and you will find that he owned, he bought a lot of artists' work. And then, how do you think James Brown got his rights back? Michael Jackson bought the rights to his works and then returned them back to him. Prince was doing the same thing because they once owned him, and there was a time when he named himself the artist formerly known as Prince and wrote Slave on his face. Then once he broke free of the contract, he refused to work with any other artists that didn't own their own work. So Prince was also buying back the work of the artist and giving it back to them. This war has been going on a long time. Now, if you don't see it now from what I'm saying, go back and look at Michael Jackson when he was in the heat of his war. And you will see him in a lot of his videos. He started wearing military uniforms and would be surrounded by military-type people. Go back and look at the uniform. Look at the yep. band he was wearing on his left arm, okay, be it black or red, and tell me who else wore those military uniforms and those bands on their left. He was speaking a language that they were understanding between themselves. Okay, yes, now, yes. As far as Jim Garrison goes, while Lyndon B. Johnson ordered nobody to come in to deliver this rescue, Jim Garrison's father was the only one who disobeyed the order and sent his ship in. If he hadn't done it, they would have sunk the Liberty.
You're talking about Jim Morrison, right, sir?
Jim Morrison. Garrison, I'm sorry, Morrison.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thanks, Tony. Thank you so much for bringing that up.
Okay, yes. And that's why that happened. Now, I was working with I won't call the name, but you're going to have to piece this together. I was working with an artist, a music artist, who was very high in a band, and he was working with his artist, and they were working on an album called Dream of the Blue Turtles. That was the title of the album at the time. I was invited to the studio and to sit in on a session. And afterwards, we got into a deep discussion, and they brought up Gangsta Rap because this Dream of the Blue Turtle was sort of a jazz album. Okay, and they would explain to me how jazz is always it has a creative flow. There's never a stop to it if you don't want it to be. But then we got into the discussion of rap and then gangster rap, and I'll never forget what these two main artists told me. You can do the album cover, you can look into the album, you'll discover who they are. But they told me, anytime you get people who have the same beat, and who are doing the same degrading rap and no lyrics that uplifts humanity, that's not music. That's an agenda. I never forgot that. Okay. Now, I think I've covered about as much as I want to cover, but I'm just happy that someone has finally gotten to the root of it. And Kanye is right. Now, it depends on, I will tell him, depend on Hollywood to come to your rescue. Okay, don't depend on Hollywood, but if he's gonna be willing sacrificial lamb, I think it'll be more the outside that comes to black, white, it doesn't matter, because what he's going for is the truth, all right? But don't depend on Hollywood, particularly black Hollywood, because all they care about is themselves. But
Stay on the line for a moment, Stoney. I think a couple of my co-hosts would like to respond to you or to follow up with something. But no, I'm really appreciative of your call. Michael Jackson on multiple occasions, so those lyrics in the They Don't Care About Us song, Kick Me, Kike Me, Jew Me, Screw Me, whatever it is. But there was another era where he spoke out against Jewish power as well, and they came down on him hard. So yeah, there were multiple times in his career. And I think that, he just, with the lyric thing, he changed the lyrics, but we know what he really meant originally. I don't know, Graham, and also William, I'm guessing, might want to have something to say. William, did you have something you wanted to respond to Stoney with?
Well, Stoney, what a great call. I really appreciate the information you called in and shared with us there. I don't have a lot to add to it, but I do know, I remember Prince going to see a few of his concerts, around 2000, 2001 time.
Stoney even brought up Farrakhan, and I don't know, right. Really, you've talked about a lot of these gentlemen, and I don't know if you had any other thoughts, to get Stoney's insight
really
on it.
That's really interesting facts I wasn't aware of there.
Well, Graham, did you have something you wanted to mention to Stoney?
Yes, Tony, was that a...
Stoney, that's Stoney with an S, Stoney.
Stoney.
Yeah.
Stoney, right, sorry. Stoney, that was very interesting what you said. Was that a 1985 album with a track on it called Russians?
I hope the Russians love their children too, yes.
Mm-hmm. I know that album. Yeah, I know that album. There's another track on it called We Work the Black Seam.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Yep. Yep, I know that album. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I've seen him in concert. I'm talking about Sting. I've seen him in concert recently, and he gave a great long spiel at the beginning, the introduction. He talked for about 20 minutes, just about the evils of society, and, you know, the evils of the business, and the evils of the war hawks and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Stoney,
was that Graham Sting you said?
Sting, right.
Yes.
And Stoney, one more thing I wanted to add is, I mean, you mentioned Louis Farrakhan. I always felt, I mean, from what I know of him, it's great that he addresses Jewish power and how, you know, blacks have been, you know, kind of exploited and used by the Jew, really against white culture for their own agendas in a lot of ways, but certainly did more harm than good. But he insists on talking about the white devil, you know, and it's just like he can't really get the masses, you know, big amount of followers, it seems, without demonizing whites as well, not just talking Jews and Jewish power, or at least organized Jewry alone. And, you know, if only he could just talk about organized Jewry and not the white devil. I mean, you know, that's my criticism of Farrakhan. I don't know. What would you say to that, Stoney?
Well, I would say that's his hang up, not mine. All right,
so, right.
You know, so that's his thing. All right, so but I can only speak to what I spoke to you about. But the thing is, I mean, I hear people who come on to RBN a lot, and I don't disagree with them. I hear white people who say that, hey, you know, and I agree with them that, you know, whites should be able to deal with whites, okay, and blacks should be able to deal with blacks. I don't know if you want to call that white nationalism or black nationalism, okay, but the thing is that you can't love anybody unless you love yourself first, man.
Amen, man. We don't have to be enemies just because we are separate. Yeah. That's people that forget that that's how we lived before they came in and destroyed this southern land.
That's right.
And okay, it wasn't perfect, but nothing is. And I really appreciate your call too.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
happened?
Stoney, I hope you call in more often to my show because I really do appreciate your insights. And I do like to hear from all sorts of voices. That includes yours, sir.
Well, Stoney, my
favorite call on RBN that I've been on co-hosting so far.
Well, I appreciate the honesty in which you gentlemen discuss. I don't care about race, religion, or anything like that. But the truth,
yes, sir.
If you want to know who your enemy is, I've always said this. If you want to know who your enemy is, or if you want to know who your God is, okay, is that what you fear? Is that what you fear to tell the truth about the most? Okay,
thank you so much.
If you fear him enough to not to be able to tell the truth, that's your God.
We're all out of time. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, thank you, Stoney. Listeners, please support RBN, and we'll speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.